That's who I'm interested in reaching. If we can reach them and if we can affect their life, then that to me is us fulfilling our great commission. My great commission ain't to make sure that I'm the best church in town and get everybody from other churches to come to us. Our commission is to go out into the highways, the hedges, go out into the uttermost and do all we can to bring them in. All right, and that's exactly what we're trying to do. And that was the whole thought process on this. Now, I was asked, so what does that leave for us older folks? We all have a part. As I mentioned last week, we are in the discipleship. That's where you and I fit into this whole thing. You can't bring folks in. It's very biblical. The older ladies, the elder ladies are supposed to help train up the younger ladies. So don't think that this is one of them things we're kicking out all the old. No, we need everybody to get involved and do their part, whatever that part may be, in doing that, whether it's teaching, whether it's taking somebody under their wing in a discipleship and different things like that. It's making yourself available to somebody and trying to help them. And so there are a lot of things that we can do. Fellas, there's a lot of things that you and I can do. Most of these kids, a lot of these kids, growing up, either one with a single parent, daddy's out of the picture. Happens a lot of times in a lot of the this younger generation. You're dealing with somebody that even though mom and the kids may be coming to church, dad isn't. All right, and we deal with that. All right, in those situations, we need men. We need men that'll be godly examples to these youngins. And I can remember when I was a youth pastor, if I've heard it once, I've heard it 100 times. I won't. The kind of family that you have, Brother Robbie, and because they desire somebody, they desire godliness in their home. Just because they're a teenager, don't think for one minute that they don't desire that. And so this is that generation, and this is what they desire, and you and I have to be a leader to all of that. As we talked about last week and in our ministry goal and in our vision of what we want to do and how we want to reach them, I told you after we got through with the vision and what it was, I was going to take the next couple of weeks and tell you how we were going to accomplish this. And I was going to use this passage of Scripture in reading in Luke chapter number 10. I think it lays it all out for us. And I'm going to try to do it very scripturally and biblically. Read this out and you're going to get familiar with this passage of Scripture. I'm not going to make the sermons that long. I want them to have an impact. I want us to just deal with one point and then we'll move on. All right. Now, we'll begin our reading tonight in verse number 25 and we'll read down through verse number 37, just as we did last week. All right, and the Bible says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But the lawyer here, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man down from Jerusalem." I'm going to go back up and say this. When you see a certain man, how many of you in your Bible, man is italicized? How many of y'all see that? All right, I need somebody to raise your hand. How many of y'all see that? All right, I'm fixing to explain to you why that's there like that. All right, when you see the word italicized in your Bible, that means it was added into the translation. In other words, it was not necessarily in the original manuscript. The translators added it to the translation to try to help you and I along with the Scripture. My point being in this is that it says a certain man. You notice the gender here. But the fact of the matter is that wasn't what was in the original context or the original manuscript. It could have been a certain man. It could have been a certain woman. I just want you to understand. I want you to go with the mindset. We're not talking about just a certain stereotype. Okay, I want you to keep that in mind. Now, I know there's other parts of the Scripture that talks about this man, but I want you to keep in mind that in the original, it's talking about a certain person is basically what we're saying here. All right, as we move on, it says, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he parted, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. As we see in the passage of Scripture, we see this all started off with a conversation between a lawyer and Christ here. In this conversation, the lawyer asked the question, who is my neighbor? I want to take this passage of Scripture and I want us to look at who our neighbor is, which we already did last Wednesday night, but I also want to look at it on what our responsibilities is to our neighbor. So tonight we'll be dealing with the ministry of outreach, and that is where we're going to go. As I said last Wednesday night, we'll deal in 3 parts with this: the ministry of outreach, the ministry of care, and then the ministry of follow-up, all right, is what we're going to do with this. Now, in the ministry of outreach, I want you to notice a few things here found in our Scripture. The Bible tells us once again that Jesus said a certain man went down from Jerusalem. Now, from the context, we know that it was a man, but I wanted to point out that and show you in teaching there that it's italicized, which means to me it could fit any gender, any person. Does everybody understand that? And I think we get too pointed in our interpretations and what we're doing. And basically, if something the Bible don't exactly spell out our exact situation we're going through, then we dispel it and we just go on and say it ain't for us, all right? But here, understand that this was a certain man. He's not named. This man's not named. I noticed a couple of things in the ministry of outreach. I noticed the object. He was a human. All right, somebody say amen right there. It does not give us a name as to who he was. It does not give us a title to say that we're supposed to take care of so and so. It didn't tell us that he was a Jew. It didn't talk about his race. It didn't talk about anything else. It just gave us an object of a human being. Somebody say amen right there. We pick and choose, and I feel like this is what hinders the church more than anything. We pick and choose who we want to be a part of our fellowship. We pick and choose who we decide, who we want to be, or who we decide should be a part of our fellowship. And therefore, as you look around you, and I'm just going to be honest with you, there's not very many other people of other races in here and with us. I know that's something that's culturally, because we're in the deep South, but it ought not be that way. Somebody help me right here. The fact of the matter is that you and I should look at every person, not only as an individual, which means that they may be different than us. I need somebody to help me. That means they may not be just like you. They may not had to bring up or be brought up in the same manner that you did. There's a lot of these kids today. They ain't been brought up nowhere near like I have. Amen. They've never even experienced a day on the farm unless it was on a field trip with the school. All right. I mean, there's some different things. They're individuals is what I'm trying to get at. And they are going to be different. They're not going to dress like you and I. They're not going to talk like you and I. They're not going to do the things that we think that they ought to do, just like you and I would do them. I get tickled with my dad. I love my daddy to death, but I mean, he's old school on everything. Somebody, y'all know what I'm talking about? We go to working or something like that, we'll get out there and I'll know something that's quicker. I can do it quicker, do it better, make it stronger, and everything else than what dad can do. But dad ain't having none of that. You're going to go through the process, son. And by the time we get through the process, I could have built 5 of them. Can I get a witness right there? I said, Dad, Dad, go get something to drink. When you get back, I'll have it all done, all right? Just go. No, we got to do it just like that. And you're going to do it just like he said. So you know what I do now? How would you like to do this? What are you getting at? I'm getting at things are different. They're not always going to be just like we want them. They're not always going to be just like us. We need to understand that the object here that we're talking about in outreach is a human being. They are an individual, which means they're not going to be like us. Does everybody understand what the word individual means? They're not going to be like us. That means that that doesn't mean if they ain't just like us that we can't reach them. All right? It means that you and I need to find common ground with them. And I think we can all do that, all right? I want you to notice there was no race that was given, and there was no title that was given. We don't know who this fellow was. All we were told is it's a certain person. He was a human. I noticed number two, he was hurt. Can I say that we live in a world right now where most people are hurt, and they're hurt from churches. They're old school churches. I'm just going to be honest, and I grew up in one that tells you if you sin, you're going to die and go to hell. I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were, matter of fact, we went out on visitation and with somebody that had been visiting the church, and we sat down at a table and we were talking to them, and this whole subject was brought up. They had some things go on in their life, early in their life, and different things like that, and they had people tell them they were going to die and go to hell. There was no use for them because they'd sinned, they'd messed up. And this is the type of thing we say, oh, that nobody would do something like, yes, they do. I hate to say it, but they do. I hate to admit that a church would do that to somebody, but churches are doing that to people. And not necessarily the church, but individuals in the church do stuff like that. And so we live in a situation and we live in a time period where a lot of these people are just absolutely hurt. And they're tired of hearing about how bad they are. They're tired of hearing about how God doesn't love them because they're different than we are or because of their sin. Now, our job is to get them in. Somebody say amen right there. And then our job is to start giving them doctrine. You can't bring somebody in and all of a sudden start telling them. I was about so mad on Facebook the other day. I got some good preacher friends. God bless them. They just need to be saved. But anyhow, I got some good preacher friends and they was talking about somebody that was tattooed. And that, man, they just went, way out in left field with somebody being tattooed. And before you knew it, they were dying and going to hell. They were rebellious. That was a way of witchcraft and devil has gotten all into them and the ink and everything. And I'm like, where are you getting all of this? Where's the Bible for all of this? And this is what we're doing to people. And we wonder why they won't come to church. We wonder why folks are scared to death to step inside the doors. We wonder why folks are rebellious the way they are. You know how many people like to come to our church because they don't feel like they have to put on a suit and tie? Oh, I feel like I can come to church. I feel like I can just come straight from work. I feel like I can. Why isn't that the norm in every single church? Why do we have to give them, I mean, you might as well give them a robe when they walk in, tell them to put this on if you're going to have service with us. What are we doing? We got to reach him. We got to reach him. Like, I want you to notice something. This man was hurt, and he was left half dead. These folks that we're trying to reach have been hurt, and they've been left half dead. They don't want anything to do with church. And they're to the point with church that they feel like it's even better not to believe in God. Because if the people that are supposed to be the example of a Christ-like person is what they're having to deal with, telling them they're going to die and go to hell, then why would they want the original version? We see this man, he was human. We see that he was hurt. He was left half dead, according to the Bible. And he was hopeless. I want you to notice that he was hopeless. The Bible says that they departed in verse number 30. They wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And it says, by chance there came down a certain priest that way. You go on, it says, and likewise a Levite. But both of them passed by on the other side. Can I say there's a lot of the religious crowd that is passing by on the other side. They don't want nothing to do with reaching people where they're hurting at. They don't want, is everybody all right? They don't want anything to do with reaching somebody that's hurting. They want to reach somebody that's got a nice bank account. I had a preacher, I was talking to a preacher today, and he was telling me, he said a missionary, and this ain't being, this is being recorded, but it's not on Facebook. But anyhow, he said that a missionary came to his church this past Sunday. And he said, and he was standing there with a missionary, and he asked him, he said, man, what you doing tonight? He was going to give him an opportunity to share his ministry with their church. Their church is a real small church. Matter of fact, we paid the rent on their building for 2 months so that they could keep the doors open. And God's doing a wonderful thing. This was back years ago. We paid rent on this church for them because they'd gotten to a place they couldn't even afford to make the payments on the building that they were in. And we helped them out for 2 months. And praise God, they've been having revival now for about 3 weeks. And he was telling me that the building has been slammed full every night of revival. God's just been doing great things. But anyhow, I was talking to him. He was telling me about this missionary. And he said he was going to give up the missionary. The missionary just dropped in on their church. And he was talking to him. And he asked him, he said, where are you going to be tonight? And he mentioned the church. And he said, I'm not real sure about the church. He says, I think they're off doctrinally. So I don't know that we're going to go. And so this preacher, he said, well, let's look him up. So he looked him up on his phone. Well, when you pulled it up on the phone, the name that he gave, it was this huge church. Nice brick building, very big church and everything else. And he pulled this thing up, and the missionary was standing there looking at it with him. And he said after they both looked at it, he said the missionary turned to him and said, you know what, brother, if you don't mind, I think we're going to go on over there. And what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it affects everybody. That preacher told me, he said, I knew all I needed to know about that one. Here he is saying one time, this church ain't doctrinally sound, but when he seen the size of the building, he was all ready to go present his ministry and get money. But you know what? The church is that way too. Church will reach out to somebody. Y'all help me if I'm wrong right here. Church will reach out to somebody that comes in a nice suit, nice tie, nice vehicle, and everything else, has all the right motion, has all the right things going on about them, says the right things, does the right thing. Boy, everybody wants to connect with them. Oh, I'm fixing to get on. Ooh, we having some fun tonight. But somebody come in with about 3 rugrats. Does everybody know what a rugrat is? I had them in my house before. They're dangerous, all right? I'm going to just tell all of y'all. Y'all be careful. Don't get them rugrats. No, I'm kidding. Them rugrats, they come around. A single mama walks in with all them youngins around her legs and everything else, tattooed up from one side to the other. Watch her come in, sit down, and ain't a word spoken to her. I know I'm telling it right. I've seen it. I've watched it. I've watched some of our leaders and how they handle somebody that walks in that looks like they got money versus somebody that doesn't. Oh, I need some help. Don't get quiet right here on me. I watch it. As a matter of fact, if one's pretty, we're going to talk to them. One's good looking, we're going to talk to them. One's ugly, we ain't saying, uh-uh. We hate this word, and we hate being accused of this, of being judgmental, but we are. And it's so evident. It's so evident. We're looking for somebody that we can connect to that benefits us. I know it. I know I'm right, Miss CC. I see it all the time. As long as they'll benefit me, as long as they'll benefit my situation, then I want to connect with them. But if it's going to cost me something, then all of a sudden we got to step back. Well, you know, I'm busy. Who is your neighbor? Who do you think Christ would reach out to? Y'all help me right here. A lot of times in Scripture, Christ got on to certain groups of people. He got on to those that had money, depended on their riches. And he got on to those that was more religious than they were caring. But you know what you won't find? You won't find him getting on to somebody that was poor. Correct me if I'm wrong. Matter of fact, he made it a point to point them out. I'll move on since it's gotten so quiet in here. The question tonight is, who's your neighbor? Who do you see as a neighbor? We got folks that come in here and they might be a little bit different than us and they're not making a connection. Why are they not making a connection when there's 300 people in the building? Why isn't there one why is not one person making a connection? Say, well, that's your job, preacher. Is it my job? Is it my job? Because I'm going to tell you who I connect with. Dumb rednecks. Somebody say amen right there. These people are smarter than me. Some of y'all need to get, hey, listen, are y'all understanding what I'm saying? If this vision, if we're going to do this, somebody else is going to have to get involved. You're going to have to get involved. It can't be just all the leadership team's got to handle that, or the care team's got to handle that, or this person. It's all of us. Every single one of us has got to get in job or got to get involved and do our part if outreach is going to work. And it's gotten to where, we have an outreach team. Really? We got somebody else that does all that. We got somebody else that does soul winning. We got somebody else that'll talk to you about that. Let me refer you to the preacher. The object. Who is your neighbor? I notice not only the object here, we see this man, he was hurt. We see he was human. We see he was hurt. We see he was hopeless. Let me get on through this. But we notice the opportunity here. We notice the man that helped. I want you to notice in verse number 33, the Bible says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. We're going to stay right here in verse number 33 for a minute. I want you to notice, first off, the attributes of this man. He was just a Samaritan. Did you notice that Jesus didn't put a title on him? Did you notice that Jesus didn't say, hey, it was one of the disciples? Did you notice that Jesus didn't say it was a Sunday school teacher over at the church? Did you notice that Jesus didn't say it was somebody that had been raised in the church and knew what to do? All the Bible tells us is that it was a certain Samaritan. It didn't tell us whether, there's not a lot of specifics here. What am I getting at? What am I trying to get a point or trying to get across to you and I tonight is the fact that this man was no different than you and I. He was not a Jew, so he didn't fit into that category. So basically, what we're saying here is that you and I are a picture of this Samaritan. Somebody that had no right to salvation. Somebody that had no right to Christ whatsoever. But yet, through his grace and through the ministry of somebody else, we was brought to him. Is everybody with me? A certain Samaritan. I want you to notice tonight his attributes. Number two, I want you to notice his awareness. We're talking about opportunity here. His awareness. The Bible says, and as he journeyed, he came where he was, and the Bible says, and when he saw him. Can I say, I feel like a lot of us is walking around with blinders on. Because there's people wounded, left half dead, laying all over the place. Right. And this world's passing them by on the other side. Right. And you and I, nothing more than Samaritans, saved by the grace of God, with a story to tell, with a Savior to proclaim. Yeah. If we're not careful, we'll walk right by. The Bible says, and when he saw him, he was aware. Do you know that there's people that you go to work with that are hurting and they put on a smile and they tell you everything's good? I can't tell you how many times I've been asked, how are you doing, Brother Robbie? And I say, I'm doing great. And I'm not. I'm tore slap up from the floor up. Somebody say amen if you know what I mean when I tell you. And I put on that smile. I put on that face. I get up there and I raise my hand and tore up, hurting inside. And you and I, listen, I'm not asking you for pity. I'm telling you, we got to be more aware of what our surroundings are and what's going on around us. There's people out there that's hurting. There's people out there that are struggling, and you and I know the signs. You know why you and I know the signs? Because we've been there. Because we've been there. If we're going to reach this generation, we're going to have to get involved. We're going to have to become more aware of our surroundings and what's going on. Not only do we see his attributes and his awareness, but we also see his approach. Bible says he came where he was. Come on now. He came where he was. You know what we're waiting on? If they'll come to the church, we'll help them. If they come to the church, we'll minister to them. But the Bible says as he journeyed, and he came where he was. If we're going to reach this generation, we're going to have to do it outside the walls of this church. They're not going to come into a church just because the Calvary Baptist is on the sign. They're not going to walk into the church just because, oh, that's a Baptist church in Lake Park. They're not going to walk into the church because, hey, that's a big church. What are we going to do? How are we going to reach them? We got to go to where they are. We got to get outside these doors and we got to go to where they are. We got to go to where they're hurting. We got to go and reach them in their wounded condition. Say, but they don't have nothing to offer in that condition. Good. That's just how we want them. Hey, if we can give a cold drink of water to one of them, we've given a cold drink of water to Christ. The Bible says, I want you to notice his attributes, his awareness, his approaching, and then his activity. I want you to notice two things about his activity here. I notice that as he journeyed, I'm not asking you to make special trips. I've come to the realization of this, and you may disagree with this, but I don't, because I dealt with it and nobody else was here with me helping me. I beat on every stinking door back here behind this church. We walked and we beat on doors, we knocked on doors, and we invited people, and I invited, and not one, y'all hear me? Not one person I knocked on their doors ever walked into these church and said, hey, I'm here because you knocked on my door. Just didn't happen. I'm fighting it like every other church. Hey, we're gonna have soul winning. We're gonna have a soul winning night. Everybody come on. We're going out on visitation. Boy, I get fired up, and there'd be five people here: me, Michelle, Dalton, Kaylin, and Zachary. Fought it till I was tired of it. I said, you know what? I put together an outreach team. Put Justin and Kayla over it. I said, this is what I want. I said, Becca was here at the time. I told him, I said, go find the purple-headed people. Go find people that's tattooed from here to here. Go find people with earrings hanging out everywhere. Go find people that nobody else, are y'all hearing me right here? I said, put them on this team and let's figure out how we're going to reach people outside these doors and outside these walls. I'm not interested in the traditional way of reaching them. I don't want to ever hear about knocking on doors again. It may be effective for some people, and Lord knows I ain't downing it. Praise the Lord, if somebody does it, then do it. But it wasn't effective for what we were doing. So let's do something different. What do? We started outreach team. We started Facebook. We started dealing with people. You know how many people's come to this church because of Facebook? I got some people, we hate Facebook, and we ought to do away with Facebook. Do away. Why would I want to do away with Facebook? Some of y'all are sitting here because of Facebook. Amen. The Bible says, as he journeyed. He did it as he was going through his daily routine, through his daily steps. If that means Twitter, if that means Instagram, if that means Snapchat, Facebook, or whatever other social media, I run out, that's all I know. But if that's what that means, then let's reach them there. Because you're not going to take a phone out of a youngin's hand. Amen. We see the opportunity. The Bible says, as he journeyed, he came where he was when he saw him. I noticed the object, I noticed the opportunity, and lastly, the objective. The objective of this is for number, and I would say this is probably the main thing, is for us to have compassion. The Bible says he had compassion on him. He had compassion on him. Not anger, not bitterness. Do you know, I think some of us, come on now, I need some help right here. Let's just be honest. Let us reason together. Some of us got bitterness towards a younger generation because of what we see on TV. They're different than what we are. have different values than what we do. And so in our minds, they're not even humans. Don't act like I ain't telling it right. We'll get mad, we'll say things, some of the most hateful things, myself included. I get caught up in a moment. Every time I get on Fox News, my head, I'm talking about, I get boiling mad. I don't even watch CNN because I'd be killed somebody. Amen. Then we say things out of anger, and we loop in a whole group of people. And we see them like what we're seeing on TV. And so we see them as less than human. Is everybody getting this? I wonder tomorrow if we went through our day and had compassion on every person that we seen. Oh, it is good. It is good. I wonder if tomorrow this entire church went through the day having compassion on every single person that we see. What kind of a difference will we make? Please tell me, please somebody, be honest with me right here and tell me this. Do you stereotype people? I'll go ahead and tell y'all this. Y'all just like me. You know what y'all like? What y'all's favorite pastime? People watching. I don't know anybody that don't like it. We used to go to the mall when I was a younger man. We used to go to the mall and just sit in the food court and make fun of people as they walk by. Yeah, I'm talking to my crowd. Yep, I can tell it. But that we've carried that mentality right on into our adulthood. And now we do that with everybody. What if tomorrow we went and we didn't see them as an object to be made fun of, but we seen them as somebody that needed compassion? We seen them as a soul. What if we looked at every person as if eternity was in the balance and there was a possibility that heaven or hell was in their near future? I wonder if it would change our outlook on outreach. The objective here and what Christ was trying to teach here is that you and I are to be compassionate to anybody and to everybody. I want you to notice something about this man. This certain Samaritan had nothing to gain by helping the one that was hurt. No guarantee of payment. No guarantee of, no sign this contract and I'll take care of you. He went out of his way, came to where he was. As he journeyed, but came to where he was. So he went out of his way to help him. And we ain't going to get into this tonight. Come back some other time. But it cost him something. We'll get into that in another one. But I notice the objective is to have compassion. See people as individuals and as souls. And then to see conversion. I think our objective is to see conversion. Not leave them in the state that they're in, but to help them change. There's people all through this building that come to this church hurt. Come to this church beat down, come to this church and just felt like the weight of the world was on them. Nobody wanted them, nobody loved them, and walked into this church and they got right now, you're sitting here right now because somebody loved you. Somebody had compassion on you. Somebody tended to you. Somebody helped you get healed from those wounds from that other place. And you're sitting here today all patched up, all healed up because somebody had compassion. We see the objective to have compassion, to see conversion, and lastly to care for. We're going to get into this next week, so I'm not going to get into a whole bunch right here, but not just I ain't talking about just telling people we care. I'm talking about showing people we care. Brother Larry used to say it all the time, and I'm sure it wasn't originated by him, but anyhow, he said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I'll never forget that. He told me over and over again, all them preacher boys and all of us up there in college, they want us to understand that you get all the knowledge in the world, and people don't care what you know. Until they know how much you care. So we can put doctor in front of my name if y'all want to. But it ain't going to matter if we don't show them that we care. It's not about stating that you care about people. It's not about telling me what you want me to hear. It's about you and I getting involved and letting our care come out in an action. Amen. What does that mean for me, preacher? What does that mean? What am I supposed to do? That means there won't not be a visitor that walks in these doors that isn't spoke to. And I ain't talking about, listen here, this is the problem that we're running into. We've become so formal in our care ministry. Hey, thank you for coming. We're glad that you visited Calvary Baptist Church.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, so glad you could be with us. Thank you for being at Calvary Baptist Church. So glad you could be with us. Thank you for being at Calvary Baptist
right,
Church.
Pastor, you're right.
Am I all right?
Yes, you're right.
And so we're talking to people, but we're really talking at them.
Right.
What about this? How are you? What's going on in your life? How are you doing? What brings you to Calvary Baptist Church?
Yeah.
Do you know somebody here? Does your child, would they like to go to it? We got a children's ministry. I'd love to show you where that's at. Could I do that? I'll bring you right back to the seat. We'll save this seat for you.
Yep.
And then have a conversation. I'm talking about stay with them.
Right.
I'm talking about, hey, is there anything I can get for you? Is there anything I can do for you? What can I pray about with you?
Amen.
Hmm? This is what we're doing. Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. I'm glad you come. Hey, Scott, man. Hey. Hey, man. How you doing? What you scared about? Don't get scared. It's all right. How you doing, buddy? It's so good to see you, man. Man, how's everything going? How's baby doing? I mean, we just... Because we know Scott. We're comfortable with Scott. We're comfortable with somebody else. It could be anybody, not just Scott. We're comfortable with somebody. And so we do our part. Thank you for visiting Calvary Baptist Church. Hey, how are you, Miss Tanya? It's so good to see you.
Yeah.
You know what a visitor feels like? How would you feel? Real important. I think that's good. Real important. We standing around talking. Come here, Justin. Come here, Dalton. Come here. Come here, Bryant. Come here, Jake. We all standing around talking. Come here, Bryant. Man, what's wrong with you? Act like you're deaf or something.
He don't want to talk to us.
This kind of stuff is going on. And I'm not getting on nobody.
Right.
I'm telling you, I'm as guilty of it as any.
Yeah.
We're all talking. Caleb's sitting over there. He's a visitor. Brought his whole family. We're talking, and he's sitting there. Ain't a soul talk to him. But we're too busy trying to catch up. All these men, every one of them, I text probably 3, 4, 5 times a week. Get here to church, and I'm going to spend the whole time with them. Y'all help me. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong if I'm wrong. We got somebody sitting over there with a whole family that you could be the difference in them staying here. Y'all might connect, both of you. Lacking hair. I can't reach. Sorry. Just throwing it out there. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I love y'all. I care for y'all. This is compassion. But that stuff's going on, though. And it's not, we're familiar with each other and we're comfortable with each other. But there's folks here that need, they're hurting. You don't know what's going on in their life. Their last church may have had all kind of mess go on and they're reeling from church.
Right.
Me and Michelle sat at a table with a couple the other night that was reeling from church. I'm talking about ain't been in church for years and ain't been involved because of something that went on at a church. And what was so sad, I told y'all, this is eating me up.
Yeah.
What's so sad is I run to the back And I introduced myself. I'm sorry, Miss Georgia, you're doing such a great job shaking my hand. I said, hey, how are you doing? Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for visiting with us. He looked at me and he said, preacher, this is our third time here. And you know how I feel? Oh, it'd even get better. We left there and we stopped by Dollar General because I was wanting some butter pecan ice cream. So I stopped by. I stopped by the Dollar General. We run inside. We ain't talking about here in Lake Park. I was somewhere else. Run into the Dollar General. The girl looks at me. Hey, how are you doing? Thought, man, that's friendly service. Doing good. How about you? Doing great. I'll go right on to my ice cream. I get my ice cream. I come back up. She's waiting in line, wanting to take me. She's standing there, boy, she's so excited. And the other girl that was with her said, hey, I can take you down here. I walked right by her because she was too friendly. Somebody say amen. Walked by her and went to the other one. She was of the darker persuasion. Me and her get along real good. I was talking to her. I was like, hey, what's up? We were talking. The other one said, you don't remember me, do you? Said, no, ma'am, I'm sorry, I don't. She said, I used to go to your church. I'm telling you, this is killing me right now. It started with Jacob Park showing up to church and then reaching out to me. Hey, preacher, I was at your church. I enjoyed it, man. It was awesome. It was this, that, and the other. And I'm sitting here, didn't even get a chance to shake his hand. Other people that were just missing. I'm missing. I want to say this, and I want you to understand this. There's people that want me to shake their hand. They want to know that the preacher cares enough to talk to them. But every time I get through preaching, I got five people standing right here. And it makes it impossible for me to get to them. And the thing about it is if we could just reach them, me and you can hang out till an hour after the service is over. This is what everybody comes to me and says, you got a second? Sure, I got a second. Now, your story is going to take 10 minutes, but I got a second. By the time you get finished with your, every one of them's out the door and they're gone. And I never get an opportunity to even shake their hand. And then I get the, I've been coming to your church for 3 weeks. I introduced myself to a couple not long ago. I'm fixing to let y'all go. I'm sorry we're running long. But I introduced myself to a couple here not long ago. Shook their hand. Thank you for being here. I'm so glad you're here. What's your name again? Or what's your name? I didn't even say again because I didn't even realize they'd been several times. This was the best one. We've been coming here about 3 months now. And what was your name again? Man, it's happening. And we're doing the best we can. I promise you I am. It was a lot easier for me when we had 100 people. I could remember everybody's name, but now I'm struggling. I used to remember visitors' name. Now I'm struggling. And I need help. And the church has got to get involved in this. We've got to do our part. We've got to have compassion for people. And hey, I want this place to be something where you want to be. I don't care if you stay out here and talk until midnight. But let's make sure that we're doing everything we can to make them visitors and make people that come through these doors feel at home. Yeah. Let's make sure we're reaching people. We're aware of our surroundings during the day, during the week. Because the only way this vision's ever going to get, only way it's ever going to become a reality is if every single one of us gets involved in it. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, thank you. Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, for a church that loves people and reaches people. God, I ask you, Lord, to help us. Lord, we need strength. We need guidance. Lord, myself included. God, we need wisdom and discernment. God, give us compassion. And Lord, a desire to be involved. Lord, that we may share, God, what's been shared with us, with others. That we may see others come to a saving knowledge of you. God, let us see people, Lord, as individuals, as souls. God, forgive us where we've stereotyped. God, where we've looked upon somebody with an attitude of what they could do for us. Instead of trying to, Lord, see what we could do for them. God, I pray you touch this church, Lord, as we, Lord, do our best to fulfill the Great Commission. Lord, as we do our best to reach people and to continue, Lord, to be a hospital for the hurting, a harbor for those that are sinking. God, we need your help. And so, Lord, I ask you for strength, unity, and God, a desire, a passion for souls. God, I pray for encouragement to all of our leaders and those that are involved. Lord, there'll be difficulties during this transition. But God, I believe with all my heart, Lord, that we'll see fruit. Lord, encouragement through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.